Here we go.
You're listening to The People's Show.
You coming to Kane? You best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one touch, left shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Tiki Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People's Show. We come to you live on Sportsnet 650 and on your favorite podcatcher. You can also dial us in on the Sportsnet app and, hey, HD Radio 96.9. HD3 on your FM dial. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. Coming up, a big edition of the program today. Canucks head coach Travis Green will be joining us after 4 o'clock. His take on the new-look coaching staff and what he expects the Canucks and where he expects the Canucks to get better next season. Shane O'Brien will join us in a couple of moments as well. And we'll start to tee up Euro 2020 as we are on the eve of the big summer tourney beginning. It is the People's Show, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. And this hour of the People's Show is brought to you by Surrey Honda at 152nd and Fraser Highway, where you'll find quality and community. Randeep, it is it's a big day when you get to talk to the coach. We're gonna have a lot to go through with him, new look coaching staff, but also a very disappointing season for the Canucks, and Travis has a big task in trying to find where this team is going to get better.
He definitely does. We're seeing some of the best teams in the NHL play right now, and the big ambition, the big goal for the Canucks long term is, how do you get to that level? How do you transform your team to being one of those teams that's the final four, the final two eventually? That's the long-term goal. And the last time we talked to Travis Green, there was a lot of questions in the air about his future. That has been settled now. There were questions about his goalie coach. That has been settled now. So there's been a lot of movement on some things, you know, and even on his staff, there's been movement as well. Newell Brown is now out. You have Brad Shaw coming in. So since we last talked to the coach, a lot has changed, Reach.
There's a lot to work through here, Sad. And look, the Canucks coming out of the start of last season, there was a lot of takes. None of them were very good. And you know, some of that is on the coaching staff to figure out what went wrong, diagnose it, and make sure it doesn't happen again next year.
And that's going to be the big thing. When you kind of look at what went wrong this season, you're trying to figure out, okay, what do we really know about what happened last year? And we're going to be talking to Travis coming up in a bit. And I'm interested to kind of see, how do you even go about evaluating this past season? Because a lot of what you saw is also stuff you got to throw out the window because of the COVID situation, other things that were happening with the team. So when you're trying to evaluate what went wrong and what you have to fix, how do you start that starting point? I think it's going to be interesting. But I do believe it's very clear what issues this team has. And it all comes back to how they play defensively.
Randeep, where does this team need to improve the most?
Well, Sat said it right there. It's defense. They weren't good enough as a team. They weren't good enough as individuals. Team defense was a problem for this team. And you look at, you know, goals against, sixth bottom in the league. Not good. Second worst in high danger chances against. They gave up the most scoring chances in the NHL. Even worse than Chicago, who was by far the worst defensive team in the league. Bottom three in high danger chances against. Long story short, the Canucks defensively, they were scattered, they were loose. And if you want to win in today's NHL, you got to settle that down. You got to make sure that you are not maybe airtight like the New York Islanders, but at least there's got to be a middle ground there where you're an offensive team, but you're responsible in your own zone. You can turn defense into offense, and the Canucks weren't necessarily that team. Regular season teams that can put up a lot of points, hey, that's great. If they can put up a lot of goals, but in the playoffs, if you want to be a successful team playoffs wise, you have to lock it down. And I go back to that goals against per game, you know, sixth bottom in the league. That's not good enough. You've got, you know, three plus goals against per game, and you have to be limiting those chances. You have to improve your zone coverage. That goes from a strategy perspective too, Dan, but also from a personnel perspective. You have to upgrade in some way, some form this offseason.
Yeah, and it's going to be the big task. Because how much can you improve personnel-wise? But the coaching staff bringing in Bradshaw does feel like the Canucks want to bring a different element to their defensive system, Sat.
Yeah, and I mean, in those elements, when you look at how the Canucks played, and it was interesting listening to Bradshaw yesterday on our show talking about this, and he mentioned it's a lot of this stuff is also stick work, anticipation, you know, individual defensively, but also how you transition that game into offense. And he made it very clear that it's not just about being better defensively and allowing less goals against. It's how you turn that to a quick transition game and being aggressive on the forecheck to create more offense. So I don't necessarily think, as much as we talk about, yes, the defense has to improve, a lot of this is going to be predicated on improving the defense, which will allow that forecheck to work and that transition game to work better. And that might be really well suited for a few players on this team who excel when the Canucks played their best as a two-way team. And I think the guy we really look at, to me, is Elias Pettersson and how much he can really benefit from this aspect. So I think it's more, and I think Randeep is bang on, defensively they have to improve. But if you play the way Bradshaw was kind of telling us yesterday, that's going to also lead to more offense.
I look at the Montreal Canadiens as an example where their forwards are very, you know, defensively responsible. We've seen that. But what happens when a team gives away the puck either on their side of the blue line or in the neutral zone? They push. They are very, very quick to transition the puck up the ice. So defense, yeah, how quickly do you turn that giveaway from the opposition team or that loss of possession into offensive attack? You have to push the pace, and the Canucks weren't doing that. Even though the idea is that, you know, you want to be playing that game, and we've heard Travis Green numerous times say up-tempo, that's the style he wants to play. In practice, it hasn't been that. They've been absorbing a lot of pressure the last couple of years. I look at a team like Montreal, all of a sudden, sure, they have their moments when they're eating a lot of pressure, but that's when they lock it down. They play a structured game, but look at their game around the blue line, around that neutral zone. They don't take seconds off. They push it quick. The Canucks need to change their strategy and be a little bit more on the front foot moving forward here defensively, which turns into offense.
Travis Green going to join us after 4 o'clock. Shane O'Brien is coming up next. This past year has certainly showcased the importance of mental health education, and Surrey Honda has joined forces once again with the Surrey Firefighters Charitable Society to help ensure there are programs in place for those in need. Help support the Phoenix Society by buying your raffle tickets today at SurreyFirefighters.com/raffle-Honda or in person at Surrey Honda before June 23rd. Grand prize is a 2021 Honda CRV Sports Surrey Honda at 152nd and Fraser Highway, where you'll find quality and community. Obi, coming up next on The People Show. You're listening. Sportsnet 650 on the Sportsnet app. Into the Dunbar Lumber text line. Are you guys mailing it in or what today? Boring!
We got to pay the bills. Cash rule everything around me. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. Come on. We got to pay the bills. The ads got to run.
I, for one, think that was a riveting 8-0 loss by the Vancouver Canadiens. Hey, it's summertime. Nooners at the Nat. Hopefully they'll be back at some point. And you can actually get down to the Nat and enjoy some games. Vancouver Canadiens. We are the home of the Vancouver Canadiens. And it was a tough one for them today. And the People Show, we've got lots coming up. So if you don't like Shane O'Brien, I don't know what to tell you. He's one of the most entertaining guys around. He's coming up in a couple of moments.
Deal with it. He single-handedly, in a lot of ways, might have kept the economy going at certain points during his time in Vancouver. He's a champion of this community, guys.
Yeah, and we got Travis Green coming up at 4 as well. So if you're bored, you're not going to be bored.
Yeah.
Very much longer. No. How about that, buddy? And sign your name, please. You don't talk trash, sign your name. Don't be a coward, sign your name.
No, they prefer to remain anonymous with an egg photo next to their name. This hour of The People Show is brought to you by Surrey Honda at 152nd and Fraser Highway, where you'll find quality and community. Travis Green, it's kind of the first exclusive interview he's done since signing his new deal, and now you have the new look coaching staff coming in as well. And joining us to chat a little bit about the Canucks and the Stanley Cup playoffs from Missing Curfew podcast, and of course, your favorite former Canuck and ours, Shane O'Brien. Obes, we missed you, man. What's going on?
Fellas, I know, right? It's like the season ended. We went on a year-end bender, and this is like our first day back in the gym where we just kind of foam roll and ride the bike, you know?
What's your go-to weightlifting exercise for your first day back? Arm curls?
Oh, man.
Curls for the girls, Oaks.
Curls for the – I would take most guys – I mean, nowadays, I don't even think these guys take any time off, but I would take a good a good month and a half off, and then I would ease my way back in, boys, with light bike rides, maybe some core to try to get that a little bit better for the summertime, but I ease back into it.
Okay, Obi, you mentioned it. You said the bender. How was Vegas? You were in Vegas last week.
Oh, boys, it was awesome. We did a live show with Missing Curfew. The Vegas Golden Knights whole staff was amazing. And then, I mean, just to be in an arena, guys, and listen, I'll have to tell you guys because you guys have been up in Canada and still dealing with it, but to have that people, the energy, nobody was wearing masks. We all had money on Vegas. They ended up winning the game for us. It was unbelievable. But at 37 years old, 3 days in Vegas, boys, I was hurting all week.
You don't recover like you used to. Neither do I, Obes, if I'm being totally honest. He is Shane O'Brien, our favorite former Canuck and yours. Check him out with the Missing Curfew podcast as well. We haven't talked to you about Travis Green getting an extension. I know you were harping on it for a while that Greener deserved it. Your take on the Canucks bringing back Travis Green?
Yeah, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of Greener, and I thought he's done a great job. And since I've been working with you guys and doing this with you guys, it's just changing the culture of the Canucks. Obviously, the good run they had in the return to play last year. And for me, man, when they came back from COVID, it could have been easy to quit. Like, everything was saying quit. The season's over. We're not going to make the playoffs. They came back and played hard against the Leafs. I think they showed some character and how much they like Greener and they wanted to play for him down the stretch because, let's be honest, it was a nightmare year in Vancouver. All of Canada was hard for, but I'm happy for him. He's back down here in Orange County. He hit me up to play some golf, telling me he wanted four strokes aside. And now I've texted him back and crickets. So I don't know if he scared me, boys. I know you have him coming on next. So maybe ask him why he's dodging me on the golf course.
I think he needs to work on his game a little bit before he can go out there. But knowing Travis, like, he probably come up with a pretty good deal before you guys get going. Like, he's a poker player, right? So anytime you get into any sort of bet with him, I'm sure he probably has his his I's dotted and his T's crossed.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going to negotiate the first tee. And like I tell a lot of people, a lot of golf matches are won and lost in that first tee box, boys. Whoever gets that extra stroke here or there or whatever happens, the way the balls are tossed up. But I played for Greener when I was a rookie in the NHL. He's an absolute beauty, and I couldn't be happier for him.
All right, you got the Travis Green connection. You also have the Brad Shaw connection. He was one of your coaches back in Cincinnati. What can you tell us about the new addition to the Canucks coaching staff?
Yeah, Shaw's a great guy. I had him my first year as pro in Cincinnati. And all honesty, without him, I don't think I would have made the NHL. The second year, the lockout year, he worked with me every day, being an NHL defenseman, video. He was hard on me at the same time, too. If you ever get him on, I'm sure he'd like to rip me. But he's a good guy. When I saw the Canucks hired him, I reached out to Greener and said he was a good guy. And you guys will like having Brad Shaw in that organization.
Yeah, we talked to him yesterday, and he was just full of information. He didn't hold anything back. He was just very, very candid, going into the details, going into all these tactics and stuff. He's kind of like a defenseman whisperer. He's kind of incredible like that.
Yeah, and he was obviously a lot younger then when he was coaching us, and he still looked like he could play. The way he skated with his head up, and he had, like, perfect hair in his coach's outfit, and we'd always be like, look at Shawzy. He's like, he can still play, probably. So, let's just say I was in his office a lot. He was trying to help me. Some days I thought he was just trying to rip me, but I'm happy to see him get a job again in the NHL. He's a good guy. He's going to help the Canucks.
Obi, he mentioned all the guys he worked with, Seth Jones, Colton Parayko, Petrangelo. He never named you, man. Why did he leave you out of that group?
I know. He should be bragging about me that he got me to the NHL. I mean, that's all those guys would have made it to the NHL without Shawzy. Me, I probably would have banged around the minors, and God knows what I'd be doing now. But I would say I'm his biggest accomplishment getting Shane O'Brien to the NHL.
Well, one of the interesting things about Brad, too, which you mentioned to us yesterday, was teaching the details, right? Making sure you sticks the proper way, how to win puck battles, anticipation. What is it about certain assistant coaches or coaches in general that know all the right things, but some guys are just really good teachers? Like, what separates guys that teach well and guys that maybe don't do that as well?
Yeah, that's the biggest difference, is just getting your message across to guys and how he does it. And obviously it helps that he played the game, and he was just always good at getting his message across, showing you in detail, and then going out on the ice to practice and kind of showing you exactly where you want to be. Because it's one thing to see it on video, but when a guy can actually go out there and practice and blow the whistle down and show you where to go, it makes a huge difference. And if you ask me, you can never have enough defensemen on your coaching staff. Now you got Bomber on the, you know, that's been there, and you're bringing in Shaughzy. You can never have enough two defensemen working your bench.
Shane O'Brien, our guest here on the People Show. So, this big Vegas-Colorado game tonight, I got to be honest, Obes, I was kind of surprised when Bednar called out his star players after, like, what, 1.5 bad games? I was like, that's an interesting card to play.
Dano, me too. When I read it, I was in Vegas, so I was like, I didn't get much sleep last night, but am I reading this correctly, that this guy is ripping the best line in hockey that got them to the, you know, to where they're going to be? And I don't know Nathan MacKinnon. To me, and this is just from watching him and seeing his reactions on the ice, he doesn't seem like a guy that I'm going to call out in the media personally. Bednar, I like him. I also disagree with what he did in Game 5. You have home ice, you have the last change, and this is the game you're going to separate the best line in hockey. You're going to take Landeskog off the top line. I didn't like that move. However, let's be honest, Vegas has been the better team. I took Colorado at the start of the year to win a cup. I took them at the start of the year, at the start of the playoffs, to win the cup. I took them to win this series. I took them tonight. I'm going down with the ship, boys. It doesn't look pretty, but I'm going down with the Avs if they lose.
Okay, Obi, I saw on Twitter that you mentioned you had some money in Colorado. Are you going with the money on this one? Or are you sticking with the money?
I'm going down with the ship, Randeep. I took them. I tried to take them in the series again, but the app I used wouldn't allow me to for whatever reason, because now they're underdogs. I figure if they win tonight, which I got to be honest, boys, I don't know if they can, because that barn in Vegas is going to be absolutely insane. I mean, it's like a nightclub in there. The DJ, I mean, warm-up is unbelievable. Like, Fleury's the last guy to come off the ice, and they're playing this, like, dance club music, and the barn's going, so they're up against it, but I'm a former Av, and I picked them for day one, so I'm going down with the ship, Randy.
Well, you know, going back to what you mentioned about Bednar and, you know, maybe making the wrong move. And last year, of course, in the playoffs, they also kind of fizzled. Now, that was goaltending. You can't really necessarily blame the coaching. But if you make decisions like that and it doesn't work out, and let's just say for argument's sake they don't win tonight's game, can that lead to a situation where the guys maybe lose faith in the coaching staff? Like, how fragile can that be when we don't have success in the playoffs and a few mistakes kind of rear their ugly heads?
Yeah. You know what? I think it's more of, and I kind of drank the Kool-Aid too at the Avalanche. I think they miss Eric Johnson. I think him not being in the lineup on the back end hurts them. I think Girard has looked small and undersized. I don't think Timmons has been great. But anyways, I think that they're still learning how to win. And if they lose tonight, they kind of remind me of a Tampa Bay team a couple years ago, right? They got good young pieces. They're still learning. So I don't think it's so much the coach as it's just they're still learning how to win. And they were in a West division that was top heavy. And, I mean, they laid the wood to the Kings and Ducks and teams like that all year. So San Jose, if they do lose tonight, I just think it's a learning curve. And they're still a young group.
Shane O'Brien, our guest. The Bruins are done. No tears were shed here in Vancouver for the Boston Bruins last night, that's for sure. But Taylor Hall, he had one assist in the series. He did drop the mitt, so I'll give him that, but that was kind of his biggest contribution here as they lost out to the New York Islanders. What happened, Opes?
I will give him credit for dropping the gloves. I love that. Listen, I'm hard on Taylor Hall for different reasons that we don't have to get into, but I just think the guy's been given every opportunity. Listen, at one point, you know, when he won the Hart Trophy in Jersey and before, you know, in Edmonton, when I was playing as a Canuck trying to slow him down, it was a nightmare. You know, he's been given every opportunity. I think he's a second, maybe third line player, which there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's, you know, he's still a good NHLer. He just didn't do anything. I think his stick is too long. He can't make plays in tight areas. A lot of elite players, that's what they live for, is tight area plays. He wasn't good enough He has a good agent, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, Taylor Hall didn't do what he was supposed to do in Boston.
Yeah, Darren Ferris can get some nice commission. So what you're telling me is Taylor Hall has the Willie Mitchell stick? He needs to cut down on that lumber?
He looks like he's got the Mitchie twig out there. And, listen, I love Willie Mitchell, but Mitchie didn't have to make plays in tight spaces. Although he could, Willie Mitchell could make a nice little play and hit the center in the middle of the D zone. But I just watched Taylor Hall playoffs, and I'm like, his stick looks a little long. You might want to shorten that up, especially on the wall when you're trying to make plays just inside the blue line and D-men are pitching down to you. Something you might want to think about, just my opinion.
How about the Tampa Bay Lightning in general, though, OB? I mean, this is a team that kind of just got their way through the regular season. They didn't kind of play their best hockey. They had guys injured. And now all of a sudden they're spending like $10 million over the cap. As much as we're looking at that team, we're looking at Vegas and all those teams, like, is Tampa just almost too good with everything they have at their disposal?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you heard a comment from Dougie Hamilton today saying, you know, we lost to a team that was $17 million over the cap, which is true. My answer to him would be tell the Hurricanes, owner to get off his wall, because I thought they should have made a big move at the deadline and they never did. I thought it cost them. But listen, when I see John Cooper's press conferences, and it's just going to trickle down to their team, they have so much confidence from getting over the hump last year in the bubble. Kucherov is back. Stammer's healthy. They got the best goalie. They got the best power play. They got the best defenseman. They're going to be tough to beat. And like I said, after them winning the Stanley Cup last year and getting over that hump, they seem pretty relaxed in that dressing room.
Before we let you go, Obes, where does Jack Eichel end up in all this? It seems like Buffalo doesn't even want him anymore, which is kind of crazy.
No, that's just like, that's like a girlfriend breakup that you try to get back together. It's over. So it's time to move on. He's coming to L.A. Ice will be out here in L.A. It'll be good for me. I'll go up and see him. He'll dust off that credit card, make him $9 million. But, Daniel, I got a question for you, buddy. I don't know anything about the Euro 2000, the Euro Cup coming up. Do I put my money on Italy, or what's my play here, buddy?
Italy is the choice this year.
Oh, he's biased.
Okay,
he's
this is not biased at all. If Italy sucked, I'd tell you, Obes. This is the year.
Okay.
The Italians, the Azzurri, led by Roberto Mancini, they are going to win it. You can have a couple of nice espressos and watch the Italy game tomorrow. They're going to get a big win.
Obi, put your money in Germany.
All right. I'm going with Italy for my boy Daniel. Here we go, buddy. Let's do it.
Let's do it, Obes.
I warned you.
We'll talk next week.
Thanks,
Obes. There is Shane O'Brien. Look at this.
He trusts you. Good for him.
Nothing like a big international tournament to get everybody involved, eh?
If there's the most like non-soccer person on the planet I know, his name is Shane O'Brien, and he just asked about soccer. So anything is possible, folks. Anything is possible.
Well, you know he wants to get down with the wagering on the Euro as well, right? It's like trying to find something to find interest in it. But I'm psyched for our Euro segment coming up at the end of the show.
Yeah, after 5:30, we'll also take a look at some of the odds, some of the betting perspective with Chris Abbott. Joins us every Thursday. That'll come up after 4:30 as well. I don't know. I kind of want to go. We got a couple of minutes. I want to go in two spots. Jack Eichel or Dougie Hamilton's comment today. What do you think we should do here?
Let's go with Eichel because we asked Obi about it, and Obi mentioned L.A., and there was a report out of L.A., however, that the Kings are out, and Friedman was on Buffalo radio today saying, well, if the guy, I forget who it was who made the report, it just the name escapes me right now, but he said if he's reporting it, it's probably true. So if the Kings are out, who else would be in on Jack Eichel, and are they truly out? Because we look at the Kings, they look like the perfect fit, don't they, out west?
They are the perfect fit. But if they don't want you, guess what? The other coast, New York Rangers, they got all the pieces to play with. They are going to have a question with Mika Zibanejad at the center position in a couple of years' time as well. And what do we know about James Dolan? He wants stuff to happen right now. He wants moves to be made. So I think this is basically putting New York in the front and center. Low-key, though, off the radar, a team to watch, the Anaheim Ducks.
I was just going to say, Obe's got some connections with the Ducks.
Yeah.
They could use some help down the middle. You know, they're getting kind of long in the tooth with Ryan Getzlaff. They've got some young pieces. So.
And who doesn't want to move to Newport Beach? Jack Eichel wants to be a part of that Newport Beach crew. Come on.
Yeah.
No doubt. And as Bick told us in our group chat, it was John Hoven with the report that the Kings are out on Eichel. But Obi said L.A., not necessarily the Kings. And Anaheim is technically, that area. It's the greater L.A. area, right? So I can see Anaheim totally being in on it. Now, what's interesting, too, with what Friedman mentioned, which goes maybe to John Holman's report that the Kings are out, that a lot of teams are also looking at the medicals or at least know of the injury and are saying, well, we look at it the same way Buffalo does. So if you're going to be at odds with Eichel anyways, then are you going to be making that trade? And perhaps could LA, the Kings, be a team that might be on the same page as the Buff Sabres? And they're like, well, if that's our starting point, we're probably not going to be able to make this happen.
And that's the murky area because nobody really knows what's going to happen with the injury. But I feel this report coming out, it's hilarious, isn't it? When you know somebody wants to dump you, you're like, no, no, I want to dump you. I'm dumping you. You're not dumping me. Like, that's what this feels like. That's what it's like. Oh, yeah, we don't want you either.
Yeah. No, Buffalo's like, what? We don't want Jack Eichel. We're better off without him.
We're never interested anyway.
We got the first overall pick again. We're good.
Who needs him?
Who needs good players? Ben from Kitts on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Did Dan just say espresso instead of spro? Incredible. Probably the first time he's used the full name on air.
Unbelievable.
You caught that, Ben. I was still mesmerized by Dan finding a way to do his Italian pronunciations with Obi still.
Hey, you got it. You actually gave him legit. He asked. That's the crazy part. I still can't get over the fact that Shane O'Brien just asked us about soccer. I am baffled, bamboozled.
The power of the Euros. It's here. All right. So we'll get to more of that coming up later on. And also coming up next, Travis Green, Canucks head coach, his new coaching staff. He'll join us to talk about that and where the Canucks are looking to improve ahead of next season. It is the People's Show on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650.